Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we focus on the beginning of Jesus' early ministry, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River. This is an important event for many reasons, but one reason is that it is the anointing of Jesus as the Christ. Now, the word Christ is not Jesus' last name. It is a title that is given to him. The word Christ is the Greek version of a Hebrew word which we use, the Messiah. This literally means the anointed one. So in Hebrew, it's Messiah. In Greek, it's Christ. And in English, it is the anointed one. Anointing is pouring a special anointing oil over a person's head that would usually be made of a mixture of olive oil, liquefied myrrh, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? And some other spices, and they would pour it over a person's head. Now, the oil represents the Holy Spirit being poured out upon a leader who was assuming an important office. Anointing was done in the Old Testament for three different offices. Prophets were anointed, priests were anointed, and kings were anointed. But the Old Testament prophets predicted that there would be one person, one very special person, who would be more than anointed by God. He would be the anointed one, the Messiah, or in Greek, the Christ. He would not be just a prophet, priest, or king, but all three put together. He would be the prophet, the great high priest, and the king of all kings, rolled up together in one. And that prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Christ of God. During our sermon series on January, we will talk about the threefold office of Christ, the anointed one. He is anointed as our prophet, he is anointed as our priest, and anointed our king at the Jordan River in his baptism. So let's talk about that first. Number one, Jesus is anointed as prophet, priest, and king. The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased." Luke 3:22. Jesus comes out to John at the Jordan River because John is baptizing people for repentance and forgiveness of sins. Jesus comes out to John and asks John to baptize him. Now, this doesn't make any sense to John. It doesn't make any sense to most of us either. Jesus is the only begotten, the Son of the Father. He is the Holy One of God. He is without sin. Why would he need to be baptized? He doesn't need to be forgiven for anything. And that's true. He does not need forgiveness of sins. He wants to be anointed by John for his ministry. And in the Old Testament, many times it was prophets who did the anointing, right? Moses anointed Aaron to be the high priest. Samuel anointed David to be the king. John is the last of the prophets, and he is here to anoint Jesus as the Christ. John baptizes Jesus, and the heavens are opened, and the Holy Spirit himself comes on Jesus as a dove. He isn't anointed with an anointing oil. He is anointed with the Holy Spirit himself. That's what Acts 10:38 describes to us as well. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So again, a couple of different things that God is doing here. It's such a great description of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. He is anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with power, and begins his ministry of doing good, healing others, and fighting against the devil. Now, Jesus is the greatest of the prophets, and he is the King of Kings. But today we're going to focus on his priestly office. Jesus is our great high priest. He is not only the greatest of high priests in all of history, he is the one and only perfect high priest. And that's point number two. Jesus is the perfect priest. Hebrews 7:26, for it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. If you want to learn about Jesus as our high priest, the best book in the Bible you can read is the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews clearly shows to us that Jesus is the Son of God in the flesh, and he is our great high priest, who continues to intercede for us at God's right hand. According to our epistle lesson today, Jesus is the perfect high priest for two reasons. First of all, he is sinless. uncorrupted from sin, unstained, holy and innocent, separated from sinners, exalted above the heavens. He is not like any other priest of the Old Testament. All the other high priests and all the other priests of the Old Testament who served in God's temple were sinners. Before a priest could approach God's altar, each day he had to be cleansed with water. Each day he would go through a ceremony of washing, washing of his hands and his feet, because God was acknowledging he was a sinner. He's an imperfect high priest who himself needed the forgiveness of sins. But not Jesus. He is pure and unstained and holy. He is the perfect priest who can enter into the very presence of God without fear, without shame, without guilt. He himself, the Bible says in Hebrews, was tempted in every way, but was without sin. And because he was tempted, he knows what it's like to be tempted. He can sympathize with sinners like us and help us in our time of need. Because he suffered when he is tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Hebrews 2, verses 18. Jesus was tempted in every way, and he is there for us when we are tempted. But although he was tempted, he remains holy, unstained, without blemish. He never gave in to temptation. The second reason Jesus is the perfect high priest is that he holds his office forever. Hebrews 7 also tells us, because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Hebrews 7, 24. The other problem with the Old Testament priests is not only that they were all sinners, the other problem is they all died. Even if they were good, faithful, although imperfect priests, even though they might have been good and faithful, they all died and they had to be replaced by another priest. Their ministry could not last. But Jesus is different. Jesus lives forever. He rose from the dead and never will die again. And now he stands night and day at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for sinners like you and me. He is perfect. His ministry never ends. This is why he is the perfect priest. He lives to intercede for us from now into eternity. But how exactly does he intercede for us? Now, a priest's main job was to make atonement for the sins of people through blood. The blood of bulls and goats and lambs are spilled on God's altar in order to atone for the sins of the people. However, Hebrews also tells us, in Hebrews chapter 10, the problem with the blood of bulls and goats is that it is not a sufficient sacrifice for sins. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. They were pointing towards a different sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. Not only do we need a better priest than we find in the Old Testament, we also need a better sacrifice, a sacrifice like Jesus. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. Here's what Hebrews 7:27 says. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Jesus comes not only to be our priest, but also our sacrifice, the once for all perfect sacrifice. When John the Baptist sees Jesus, he tells his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the Lamb of God. His sacrifice is the perfect sacrifice that takes away sin. And he is pure, without blemish, and unstained. One of the qualifications for being a Passover lamb was to be unblemished, to be perfectly white. And of course, Jesus is that. He is sinless, he is unstained, he is without blemish. But unlike those lambs, he is a willing sacrifice. He offers himself to be sacrificed for the sins of the whole world. And so he willingly goes to the cross where his blood is shed. And this blood is not the blood of an animal. It's not the blood of a bull or a goat. It is the blood of God's one and only Son, the divine blood of Jesus Christ himself. And as such, it is more than enough to pay the price for sin. The blood of bulls and goats could never pay the price for sin. But Jesus' blood is more than enough because it is the blood of God. It is the costliest price paid for anything in all the world, and it is exactly the price Jesus paid to save you from sin. Jesus comes to earth in order to pay that price, the price that only he could pay. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away sin. He takes away the sin of the world. His sin is, or I should say, his propitiation, his atonement is not just for people like you and I. It is for everyone. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the entire world. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. There is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And his sacrifice is perfect because it is once for all. When Jesus sheds his blood on the cross, it is the sacrifice that takes away all the sins. He does not need to be sacrificed time and time and time again. No, Jesus made one sacrifice, one for all time, 2,000 years ago on a cross outside of Jerusalem. That's when your sins were paid for. That's when my sins were paid for. That's when the entire world's sins was paid for. Once for all time. And that is the assurance that we have in Christ Jesus. We have that assurance that he is our Savior. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.